Hi, I'm Christina Crowley-Arkley. I'm a Canadian dairy farmer's daughter, strategic marketing and communications entrepreneur, and your host for Country Guides podcast series. With renewed focus on your farm, your conversation, I sat down with farmers across Canada to talk about their stories of success and failure, what keeps them going every day, and how they're positioning themselves and their farm for generations to come. All right, let's get into it.
Hi, Samantha. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Christina. Thanks so much for asking me to join you. It's been a very cool opportunity.
Yeah. So you said that this is your first time doing a podcast. So this is a conversation that we obviously just want to have, you and I, intimately with an audience that may end up listening to us a few months from now, chatting about farm life and your conversations and the farm advice, I guess, that you've been given and that you're maybe given to other people, because you hold a really interesting perspective, both being a farmer and working in the sector. So maybe let's first tell us a little bit about your farm. Where do you farm? How many acres do you farm? Who's all involved? Give us the full perspective.
For sure. Yeah. So thanks so much, Christina. I farm in Huron County with my parents, and I've got four younger sisters, and we're all involved in the farm in some way, shape, or form. Myself, I went to Ridgetown and then on to Olds College in Alberta, and I've been working, you know, for a number of years in ag retail, and then more recently, I've transitioned into a territory sales rep position with NK Seeds or Syngenta Canada. And I have had the opportunity to cover a totally different area than I've grown up in or been used to with, you know, farming and helping with making recommendations. So I'm now covering like London East to Niagara. So it's a totally unique and very cool experience. But on our operation back home, you know, we've got anywhere between 500 to 750 acres, depending on the year. And alongside my dad, I help him to make the recommendations for seeding, herbicides, fertilizers, that sort of thing. And then my sisters and my dad have some veal calves together, and everyone has their own little part of the farm that they're involved in. So it's pretty unique, and not too many people that can say that they've not only have four sisters, but are all involved in agriculture in some shape or form.
Yeah, as I say, that's a really cool perspective, the fact that you're the oldest, you have younger siblings who are all females, and that you're farming with your dad. I mean, what, first of all, because it's the obvious question, what led you to want to come back to the farm and be involved? Because a lot of people grow up on a farm and then eventually leave. And so you hold a really unique perspective in wanting to actually come back and farm with your parents.
Yeah. So I would say the biggest thing that, you know, kind of was that aha moment was I grew up in obviously a very small rural area, and I only knew like farming and agriculture. And I went to high school in a larger city setting, not like some of the large cities, like say London or Guelph or Kitchener or anything like that. But it was a city big enough that I realized that there was a lot of people that did not know the same sort of things that I did about agriculture. So it was a very eye-opening experience. And through my involvement in 4-H and then eventually Junior Farmers, I knew that agriculture was, you know, not only a passion of mine, but something that I was like thinking like, you know, I need to help, you know, carry on this legacy, or even just help people to understand, you know, where their food comes from or that sort of thing. But I always had a passion for, you know, crop growing and that sort of practice. So I was thinking like, okay, you know, I'm going to go to school in Ridgetown, which is funny because growing up, I was always going to be a teacher, and I'd figured out I was going to go to Brock, and I was just, you know, going to take over elementary school teaching. But here I went to Ridgetown, and it was definitely like the best thing I could have done. And the opportunities are endless. And like they said, to another piece of the pie here was, you know, at the time when I was going to school, if I was to be a teacher, there wasn't any jobs. It would have just been supply work. Whereas I knew if agriculture, there was like 3 to 4 jobs that would be waiting for me when I got out of school. So I knew there was going to be lots of opportunity. So that's, you know, kind of is how it all kind of started that way. And then as I got more involved and, you know, the different practical on-hands training that I was getting, it became evident that, you know, things were happening quickly, and my dad would start leaning on me like, hey, what do you think about this for seeding rates, or what about this variety, or that sort of thing. And so that's kind of how it's really evolved.
It's amazing. And I feel like your journey to with going to Ridgetown here in Ontario, and then you said you went to Olds in Alberta. I mean, that obviously kind of changes the trajectory of how you think, who you meet, your network. Like, how big of an impact was it gaining friendships and your education out there in Alberta? Because I always think back to farming in Alberta would be completely different farming here in Ontario, right? So how did that change the trajectory of how you learned and grow, you know, as a person?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I guess a big part of, you know, how I ended up at Olds was because in 4-H, I'd been on an exchange to Alberta. So I knew that I knew people there already. So it wasn't going out there completely blind. And it was just, you know, the opportunity to meet new people and experiencing Alberta agriculture. And interestingly enough, not only was there about a dozen of us that came from Ridgetown, but there was quite a few that came from Kempville as well. So there was lots of people from other parts of Ontario that were in my class. And, you know, kind of getting that perspective of how people, you know, handle different challenges or even, you know, different solutions that they came up with, different things. It, you know, was kind of eye-opening and being like, okay, yeah, we're all really still going through a lot of the same challenges, just in a different part of the country. So it's definitely, you know, helped me to realize like we're never alone.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably one of the greatest assets that our industry has, right? Is that community aspect. In terms of like, who would be the people that you would say, because you hold a really unique role in being on the farm and involved, but obviously, of course, your role with NK Seeds and Syngenta. And so who would you say are people that you looked up to or you had as mentors or that you even now, you know, reach out to for advice? Like, who are those people or do you even have that type of network?
So it's interesting enough that you asked this question. So I recently began my journey in ELP, so the Advanced Agriculture Leadership Program, in class 20. And this sort of question kind of came up. And, you know, I got thinking back, I was probably like 11, I'm going to say. And my dad, being a John Deere fan, he always gets the Furrow magazine. And there was an article in there about a family of girls in Alberta and their parents and I think even their grandmother tragically passed away in a plane crash. But they were left with this large farming operation and these sisters took on this farming operation. And so that was like a huge moment for me that I realized that, you know, like girls can do anything too. And, you know, my parents were always, there never was the difference between gender roles or tasks. They, you know, we always helped on the farm regardless, but just seeing other families that they went through the same thing was very empowering to me. So I would say that, you know, this family, even though I've never actually met them, I've now heard, you know, a couple of the girls speak at some of the conferences or trade shows that I've been to. You know, they're role models that I looked up to and they'll never know it, but there's them. And then, of course, like my parents, like they've always said to us, like, you know, you can do whatever you want and, you know, dare to be different is, you know, something that my mom always says to us, too. So, you know, that sort of thing, we never really, there was no differences in genders or stereotypes. It was kind of foreign to us in that sense. But yeah, so I would say that they are, you know, have been some of the mentors we've had. And even in my workplace, like I've worked with some really great people that, you know, have helped me, you know, in different tough situations and that sort of thing. But yeah,
as I said, I feel like I know what family you're referring to. And I love that, that in terms of like when we think of how we consume information and think of stories and people we meet that are going to change where we go in life and our business and the fact that you found, you know, saw an article that your dad found in, you know, in a magazine and that changed kind of how you thought about things and your role in it all. You know, you just mentioned about being put in tough situations. And I feel like you would be, again, a unique person because you're a farmer yourself. So you know how a farmer thinks and acts and feels and how they make decisions. And of course, you're on the other side of things trying to influence them to purchase the way you do. You know, what are some of the tough situations that, you know, you've found yourself in with some of your customers? And you don't have to go into details, but I appreciate that, you know, you're one of those people that it seems like you'd be able to get yourself out of a tough situation. And it's, we're in an industry that we get stuck in a lot of tough situations a lot of time, yeah. AKA every plant season, every harvest season.
Yeah, like every year presents its own unique challenges. You just never know. Like we started this year off really, really dry. And now it's like, oh man, I don't know of anyone that's actually looking for moisture. So
in a year where we're out west, they've had a very dry, obviously it's been, yeah, way more dry than here in Ontario, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think of like my friend, her family, you know, farms in southern Saskatchewan and she's living in Medicine Hat and she says like, yeah, it's so dry and smoky here from the forest fires, yeah, and all that sort of thing. So I know we always talk about, oh man, if only you could only spread the wealth across the country, it would make it so much easier for everyone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to challenges and that sort of thing, like it's hard because I know, like, for example, like I'm working with Seed, and, you know, Seed is such an emotional purchase, and because everyone's kind of, you know, seeing it from when they plant it to when they harvest it, right? They're seeing it the whole life cycle, essentially. So I know, like, this year a big thing was that, you know, I can tell everyone, and I know it's a lot easier said than done, but have some patience. And I know sometimes I can be impatient, but I guess in a way my stubbornness and determination can, you know, make me take that extra second or that extra day. Like this year, we run into a lot of dry situations that people were, you know, really eager or jumping the gun that they wanted to replant their soybeans, or even we did get into a couple situations with some corn. That everyone was like, oh, I need to replant. And so we go out and take looks at these fields and say, like, if you really want to, you can put some more seed in. And then the next day they're like, oh, just kidding, I don't need to replant. And it's because, you know, they really needed to just stand back for a minute and have a look and really notice that, okay, yeah, the crop is coming. It's just slower than what we would like. So again, like, I know patience is a virtue, but it's always not easy for everyone, but definitely something that, you know, I think if we can all take that second to stand back and really appreciate even where we're at, or, you know, notice that, okay, this is, you know, make some good notes and kind of will help you get through it that way too.
Yeah. And so in terms of, like, the advice that you would give to most of your clients, I mean, that's where you play a unique role, because you're actually living out the advice that you're most likely giving to your clients, and then you're applying it to your own farm, right, with your acres. So, you know, for a farmer this year, I guess, what is some of that advice that you've been sharing with them, besides have patience and wait a little bit before you make your next decision? Any other advice you've been sharing typically with all your clients this year?
Yeah, like, I know that, you know, every year presents its challenges, and, you know, as people become more comfortable with speaking about mental health and that sort of thing, and I know sometimes, like, we get into situations where we're hard-pressed and have to get the crop in a very short amount of time, and, you know, lack of sleep or lack of proper nutrition and that sort of thing can really play a toll on you, not to mention all the other mental and physical stresses that we get into. But I guess the one thing is, don't be afraid to lean into those that you work with, whether it is, you know, your feed rep or your crop consultant or whoever it may be. If you're having a tough day and you're on your own and your family's not around or whatever, even if you're feeling isolated, like, talk to them, like, let them know how you're truly, genuinely feeling, because you're probably not alone and they, you know, are experiencing the same sort of thing and can help you. And, you know, we're all in this together, really.
Yeah. Like, I love that advice. Love that advice. Because, I mean, the mental health conversation for our sector has obviously become very evident the last few years. I'm not sure if it's because we've become a lot more transparent in sharing that vulnerability, or now that there's actually people like yourself who are out there, you know, promoting that message. Talk to your networks. Talk to someone. I'm sure you've had people kind of mention to you, even on a day where you're going to visit them in the fields, you know, having a tougher day today, at least just knowing that they have people like yourself out there. I mean, that's a really appreciative advice, I think, to be giving to your clients and other farmers. You know, to look back in your journey, because you're in a kind of an incredible spot of your life in terms of that you're young, you have lived a lot already, but you have so much to look forward to as well. What would be advice that you'd go back and give to your 18-year-old self, your 20-year-old self?
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. I would say that, you know, generally speaking, I, you know, have been pretty good to say yes to a lot of opportunities, but I think going back to my 18 roughly year old self, I would be, you know, say, like, take that chance. Don't worry about what people think, because they're probably not even thinking about or, you know, judging you or thinking like, oh, geez, what is she doing? Because everyone's on their own journey. And as I've, you know, been involved in, you know, the different organizations that I'm a part of now, or even like I coach CrossFit as well, too. And that's one thing in our gym that we always say, like, everyone's, you know, there for different reasons. They're focusing on different goals or has different strengths. And you may be thinking like that they're standing there watching you, but no, everyone's got their own story and they're doing their own thing. So
yeah.
Again, like, that's kind of, you know, a big thing for me that I wish I was better at when I was 18, or, you know, advice to tell myself going forward, because it can bring you some pretty unique spots in life.
It sounds like from the type of environment that you grew up in, with the type of parents you had, the incredible network that you've cultivated for yourself, the opportunities that you said yes to, it sounds like you're a person that's open to failure. Like you, it sounds like you're willing to try new things and be open to failure. Is that a correct assumption that I'm making?
Yeah, I would say I definitely have gotten a lot better with that over the years. I know probably in school I would have been like, oh no, I need like an 80 on a test or whatever, when really it doesn't matter. But I guess, you know, as we take on new opportunities, you have to like almost like, I forget who told me it, but someone that I've mentored or, you know, someone that I've worked with in the past has said like, we're going to fail forward. And that really like resonated with me. And that really, you know, showed me like, if you're trying something new and maybe it didn't work this time, but you obviously learned something, so it's not a complete failure, right?
Yeah.
So.
And do you find too, because you're in agriculture and you're doing, you know, cash cropping every year, that you, every year is a new experiment, right? That even if you can learn all the things you learn and you know, you're giving advice to your clients and you're also learning on your own and applying it back to your farm, but every year is a new year to learn new things. And Mother Nature, of course, plays a huge role in that. But I guess that's part of that failing forward, that you're only going to keep getting better at what you're doing if you're open to failing, trying again.
Absolutely. Like, you think you've got something figured out, like, oh yeah, that really works this year, I'm going to do that again next year. And then it's complete opposite. Like, you just never know. Yeah, there's always something that's a different variable.
And do you think having part of that agility or that resilience is one of the things in terms of advice that you'd give to your 18-year-old self or to the next person or the next farmer? You almost have to have those qualities now in terms of our industry. You've always had to have them, but even more so now with the times that we're living through with change and disruption, living with those type of skill sets, it sounds like you have, that's what's going to be required for success.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you kind of like resilience, adaptability, open-minded, all those sorts of things. You have to be able to kind of roll with the punches, because every day is going to be different. And as much as we want it to be similar, or, you know, we think we've got it figured out, it's, in one way that would be boring. And then what would we do? But in another way, it's always an opportunity for improvement or maximize, you know, whether it's yield or potential for feed or whatever it may be. So
And you mentioned the Advanced Agriculture Leadership Program, which is a program here based in Ontario. You know, what motivated you to pursue your leadership abilities in pursuing the program?
Yeah, so that's been something that I've been wanting to do for years. And you know, Syngenta was very open to my taking the time to apply, and they supported that, and I was super grateful for that. And, you know, I really enjoy meeting new people and traveling to different places. And as much as, you know, I learn in real lots in a classroom setting, but I learn just as much from my peers. And one of my professors shared in Ridgetown, don't let your schooling get in the way of your education. And I think that's, you know, resonates so true in anything nowadays. You know, just chatting with people and getting out there and experiencing different things really, you know, you can learn a lot, and it really opens up your networking and connections to people. And if you get yourself into some sort of a pickle, hey, I might know someone that can help me out with that. And I think that's really cool. So this kind of provides an opportunity to take it to that next level, to kind of experience different parts of Ontario and North America, or even once we go on our international study. That's going to, you know, really opens up some doors for us.
So it sounds like you're a person who takes in a lot, you know, appreciates other people's advice. Clearly you've referenced some of the advice that you've heard throughout your years with mentors and professors and friends and people who've said things. How do you then apply it back to what you're doing on your farm? Right? There's life advice, right? That it feels good and you're motivated and you're inspired. But then there's actually business advice. And when you hear something or learn something from your peers, or when you're at an outdoor farm show, how do you then take that back? And I guess, what do you do with that advice? How do you bring it to your dad or your sisters to say, hey, this is what I'm thinking? And then how do you apply it to business decisions?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like, I would say, generally speaking, I'm a pretty good listener, and I take it all in like a sponge. And then I kind of like sit on it or think on it for a while. And then I'm like, okay, how is this going to work for our business, or how can we tweak something? And then, you know, I'll say, kind of run it by my dad, you know, slightly in there for the first time, because I mean, if you ask my mom, she'll say that we're both very similar personalities. So we kind of gently start to get that in there. And, you know, kind of once I get something in there, I'm like, okay, then after I've mentioned it, maybe I'll leave them, you know, some reading material or whatever. Or I'll say, oh, this person's doing this, you should talk to them and see too. Because as much as, you know, my dad's pretty good to accept what I suggest, he's still a little skeptical and stuck in his ways. So
As we typically all are when we first hear an idea for the first time, you know, takes us a few times to your point, see something left on the table a few times, read it over, hear it from someone, and then after, like, the, you know, what do they say, between 4 and 11 times, and the idea will have stuck with us and resonated. How much do you think influence, I guess, being influenced by others is really important in our sector? Like you said, your dad would go out then and validate that through someone else. You mean, and you work with farmers every day to know how they need to hear things. So how much do you think influence plays a huge role in how people decide their, you know, crop variety for next year, or who they're going to be buying their seed with?
Yeah, like I think a lot of it, like I think there's lots of different types of, you know, customers. Like there's the ones that are like the early adopters, or the ones that are just like, oh, something new, I'm going for it. Then there's the ones that, you know, are a little skeptical and they take a little bit longer. But I think the big thing is especially as the world of agriculture continually progresses quite quickly, I would say, I think a lot of people are leaning on each other more so. In the sense of, you know, because it's very evident that we're in a workplace shortage, for whether it's, you know, reps at the local farm equipment dealership or at the local ag retail locations. There's definitely a need for, you know, some more people that are specialized in different areas. So I think it's a big opportunity for whether it's your neighbors or like even your local, whether it's soil and crop or grain farmers group or your dairy farmers, whatever it may be, like that you kind of work together and kind of share your knowledge, because yeah, it's as much as like you may be wanting to get it right from the source, it just might not be there, because that, you know, there's definitely a need for skilled people in the workforce.
What would you say excites you the most about being in agriculture and food and farming home full-time on the farm?
Yeah, it's, I mean, for me, it's always been a way of life, and I don't really know any different. And being in the ag food world, like, for example, last week we were on a tour with our ELP class, and we went to a peach farm, and I've never been to a peach farm. And that was really cool to me, because, you know, they explained that part of their process, they used the RFID tags for basically that I knew them from like the cattle world for identification. And records that way. And so they're using those sorts of tags too for, you know, recording all their information about where those peaches were picked and what field and that sort of thing. So it's just cool to see the connections in the different industries, but, you know, that something was developed for one, but now used in others. So yeah. I think it's really cool that we have the opportunity to, you know, kind of take what's there and make it, you know, our own in different areas as well.
Yeah. And what would you say, I mean, I have to ask the obvious when you ask it, when we're talking about the positives, what scares you the most about the future of agriculture and food? I mean, you've mentioned labor shortage. You're clearly like adept on all the top issues of what we're going through. But what personally scares you the most as a farmer?
The biggest thing that's, you know, scary to me is, you know, the disconnect from those that, you know, aren't in a farming setting, or even in like the small rural areas. People are more and more removed from a farm all the time. And as much as, you know, like they may be coming from a rural area, they're almost getting to the point of being categorized as some people in like urban areas, where they just, you know, think that the food comes from the grocery store, or GMOs are all harmful, or that sort of thing. So just, you know, the lack of, I guess, agriculture knowledge of the general consumer is probably the biggest thing that scares me.
You know, we never got talking at the beginning about the 750 acres that you cash crop. What do you cash crop? Should have asked the obvious.
Yeah, so we got winter wheat and soybeans and corn.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'll throw in some white beans or that sort of thing when we're getting adventurous.
And so the reason why I asked too, because I think of like, how would you, and I guess give the elevator pitch about what you do on the farm, and to your point about that disconnect that you believe is there, how would you make your story relevant to a person that you met, a consumer on downtown streets of Toronto? What would you say that would make it resonate to tell your story to them and what they do every day, which is eat food, hopefully?
Yeah. And I guess like the one thing, like, as I've had, you know, quite a few conversations in the last few weeks, because yeah, it's like fair season and, you know, different big trade shows and that sort of thing. So you run into all sorts of people. And the one thing that I really noticed that everyone was concerned about was that their food safety. And, you know, the big thing for me is like, that I would say is like, I'm a farmer with my family. You know, we grow, your food, and we obviously eat the same sort of things as you do, and we want everyone to stay healthy and safe, right? So we're not going to do anything that would harm you or, you know, your family or those that are important to you. And like we have, and I guess the one thing that I learned, like even in a short amount of time, just from like some of my classmates from the ELP program already, is there's a lot of rules and regulations that we have to follow when it comes to producing food. And I feel like that's probably, you know, some of the stiffest stipulations that are out there in the marketplace, that, you know, Canada probably has the best food supply when it comes to, you know, food safety or security. So just kind of, you know, taking that and kind of hoping then to get them to ask more questions or even be like, oh, okay, like they're not out to harm us. Because I think there's also like the misjudgment that, oh yeah, farmers, they're just out here to, you know, get us, but it's really not the case at all.
Yeah. And it's a conversation that's become really timely for farmers now that we're living in the digital era and with social media, not only as a way that we consume information and connect to our fellow farmers, but also that, you know, it's a way that now we can kind of, I guess, spot trends or see what's going on with consumers to know how it's going to impact us as a sector. And, you know, I guess to that same consumer that you just gave that elevator pitch to in downtown Toronto, what advice, I guess, would you give them then as to how to better connect with their food? What would you suggest that they do then?
Yeah, so depending on, you know, the personnel, like I may suggest like, hey, have a look on, you know, your social media. Like there's lots of different organizations, whether it's like Farm and Food Care or Faces of Farmers or that sort of thing, or even check out YouTube. There's some really great farmers that are very open to sharing what they're up to on their operations, and just, you know, take the opportunity to have a look at that. Or, you know, maybe suggest if they're not into social media as much, like have a copy of the Real Dirt and Farming and that sort of thing. There's lots of resources out there, and I know that we're really good at sharing those within ourselves in the ag community, but to get it out beyond that, I know, is, you know, quite a challenge for us, but we're definitely working on it.
Yeah. And it sounds like you were very actively involved in your previous experience and with what you're doing now with your leadership development. It sounds like this is an area that you're going to be paying attention to in the future going forward. Where do you hope to be 10 years from now? Like what advice, I guess, are you giving yourself, Samantha, like every day to say, this is what I'm working towards? What is that goal? Where do you hope to find yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question for sure.
Not to scare you or anything.
No, it's all good. It's funny because like I recently got married, and so my husband is an electrician, and I know like we keep saying like, you know, we'd love to eventually, whether it's, you know, have some part of his family operation as well, or, you know, continue on in a bigger way with my family operation. You know, that's probably part of like what we would like to do. But, you know, professionally, I know like if I say one thing, it'll be totally different because you just never know where you're going to end up. But, you know, like right now I'm really happy with the, you know, my work that I'm doing with the NK Seeds, because it's a totally different area than, you know, what I'm used to. And we've been used to like the Huron County soils, and now I'm working with anything from like beach sand all the way to the heavy, heavy clays. So totally different. And the big thing is like, you know, I'd like to keep up to doing different things, whether it's a new challenge or that sort of thing. So you never know, I could be doing some sort of different role in Syngenta, or I don't know. It's I don't have a 10-year idea in mind, but I know that you know, the whole teaching thing is still in the back of my mind. Even though I wouldn't go back to school, I think I would, because I loved Ridgetown. I think long term it'd be sweet if I could go back there as a teacher for Ridgetown.
Amazing goal.
At college, because that would be fun.
Yeah. And do you have any, in terms of on the farm, do you have any aspirations to want to grow? How many acres that you're cash cropping? I mean, you mentioned that you have younger sisters who are also doing veal too. So, I mean, it sounds like you guys have diversified your portfolio of the number of people who are there and what you're working on. Any kind of personal goals around the farm?
Yeah, like I guess the big thing is just like I'm happy and to be working with my sisters and my parents, and I know that they, as they, you know, get married or have significant others, and they all got different aspirations as well. But I think it's like just a great that, you know, we're all kind of working together. And I've got one sister that she's really, well, two of them, I should say, are probably really good with, you know, animal care, and, you know, it works for vets over the years. And so I've got another one that's really good with equipment and that sort of thing. So we all kind of have our place in the operation. And I think like, you know, kind of just building on each other's strengths and helping each other out is like pretty awesome that we can, you know, do that. And, you know, if the opportunity is, you know, farmers get older and a lot of our neighbors, you know, they don't necessarily have anyone to take over their farms, but, you know, hopefully we have the opportunity to kind of, you know, work with them and, you know, perhaps even carry on their farms and keep them in, you know, a small local farming area. So.
Is it like, at least it sounds like you're open for business, right? Like your neighbors would know that you are a family being the oldest, but you and your sisters, it sounds like you want to carry on the family generation of family farming.
What
advice would you give to a young woman, regardless of age, I say young, any woman who either is in agriculture and doesn't know quite where to go from a career perspective, or is considering going back to the family farm, or wants to have that conversation with her parents about getting involved? What advice would you give her, considering you are one of those unique people in our sector who has absolutely embraced farming and agriculture? Like you said, regardless of gender, it's never there, you didn't know any other way, and that's why you're in the position you're in. So what advice would you give that person, that woman?
Yeah, so if it's, you know, a young female or even an older female and they're like, hey, that's something I'd like to do, like, I guess the one thing that I'm very, like, encouraging in the sense of, like, don't be afraid. Like, if, you know, maybe you can try to have that conversation, but if you're not sure how that's going to go, reach out to someone that you look up to or, you know, maybe has some experience with this sort of thing. And I'm sure they're willing to, you know, have a chat with you or kind of help you figure out, you know, where your mindset needs to be if you need to kind of change your framework on how you're going to, you know, address that with someone. But I know, like, today, like, if someone isn't open to something, like, they're kind of already behind the eight ball. Because, you know, there's, you know, everyone, there's a place for everyone in agriculture, and, like, there's definitely a need for the just in labor in general, but as a female, I know there can definitely still be some, like, stigma around that and that sort of thing. But, you know, then that's maybe not the place where you want to start. And I know I've had my fair share of, you know, experiences where it wasn't very pleasant because they wanted to deal with a male or someone of more experience. But, you know, just, I guess the other thing is like, never give up. And if it's something that you're truly passionate about, you will find a way. And like I said, whether it's through, you know, working with mentors or, you know, just even reaching out to someone that, you know, hey, this is what I'm up against and I'm looking for some advice.
Yeah. I'd love to hear what do you tell those farmers if and when you've been in those circumstances where they've said, I want to talk to a male? What have you said to them?
Well,
and you can give me your best we all know what first response we can maybe give them, but what professional response would you give them in your role with your company to show the credibility that you clearly have?
Yeah, so I can remember it was one weekend and it was in ag retail, and I had answered the phone saying this was Sam, and they were like, Sam, this isn't a man. And I was like, no, it's not. And they're like, well, we want to talk to someone who knows something. And I was like, okay, well, just so you know, I'm the sales rep that's here this weekend. So if you would like your fertilizer or crop protection, then I can help you. But if that's an issue, then I guess you're going to have to wait till Monday until someone, I guess, that meets your criteria is here. So then I think he kind of was taken back by that and was like, oh, okay. And I don't think we really got too much farther in that conversation because I don't think he was really expecting that. But I think he ended up calling back and we got it sorted out.
Good. And it was just like, how, like, in those situations where you're trying to, like, build trust with your clients, do you eventually tell them about how you cash crop at home on your own family farm? And do you feel like that all of a sudden gives you that credibility and then they trust you? Like, I feel like being the farmer, then they, you know, when they know that you're a farmer too, then they automatically trust you a little bit more so than if you didn't lead with that. So how often do you, I guess, lead with that?
Yeah. So, like, for example, like, that's all the time in my role now is because, you know, I'm covering an area that, like, I'm not that, you know, familiar with their soil types or heat units. Like, they're a lot longer than what I'm used to, but I tell them, like, on our operation, we're growing all NK products, whether it's the corn seed or soybean seed. And, you know, this is my experience or what we're seeing. And yes, it might be some of the varieties might be a little bit short or maybe they're a little bit long, depending on who I'm talking with in my territory. But, you know, I think you got to be able to talk the talk and walk the walk. You can't be doing one or the other only partially. So I think, like, you know, that does help with credibility. But, you know, I think people are definitely getting a lot better than what they were. But it's still out there that, oh, geez, that's a female. I don't want to talk to them.
Yeah, yeah. Like, wouldn't it be amazing if we get to a point where one day you don't even have to worry about the male-female conversation? You're just farming.
Yeah.
And we're just thankful to have people like yourself who are doing an incredible job in your role and farming and out there solving our labor shortage problems by doing what you're doing. How much do you think, too, having the leg up that you do in working in the role that you do, you get to see, you know, you get to be right there on the front lines, seeing what crops are working, again, giving advice. Whenever you see something that you don't think's working, I guess, how do you go back to your company or your peers and say, you know, I'm noticing something that I don't think's working. What are we going to do about it? Because our sector's not always talking about positive, happy things, right? It's talking about heavier things and things that aren't working. How do you take that type of information back to the people who need to hear it?
Yeah, so that's one thing. I think it's a lot with, like, you know, the culture of the environment that you're working in. So, you know, I think if everyone's feeling comfortable that they can, you know, always share, like, hey, I'm having this challenge or I'm seeing this. What are you seeing? If you can have that open conversation and dialogue with people, it goes a long way. And I know for us, like, we are always kind of check in after, you know, a big, whether it's an event or, you know, that we had a harvest or planting, like, we always check in with each other and say, like, what, you know, what worked well for you or what didn't you like? Or, I know it's interesting because, like, everyone's going to have a totally different experience, but there's probably a lot of common themes. And
yeah.
I know as we're, you know, trying to build up our business, you know, kind of, you can't sit still and you need to try something different, right?
Yeah.
And so I guess the, you know, Dan Wright, the head of Seeds, he always says to us, like, stay curious, always ask questions, and you never know where that's going to take you.
I have to ask, what is your favorite book? I feel like you're a person who you said you listen a lot, you consume a lot of information, you talk to a lot of people, you network a lot, you're involved in a lot of incredible programs. Of course, your role on the farm and then in your role with Syngenta. But what's your favorite book? Because I feel like a lot of people love knowing someone like yourself, how your brain works, which we got a little piece of that today. But what book have you read that really speaks to something that you've learned a lot from or that you've enjoyed?
Yeah, so this actually came from one of my past, how would I say it? Not a colleague, but someone that I guess was kind of in a way a coach or a mentor. And, you know, I was kind of like in a tough time and she had handed me this book and said, like, you need to read this. And I was very much like, I'm not reading this. And it actually took me quite a few years later to read it, to be honest. But I did. And it was called The Secret. And it was a lot on, like, mindset and just shifting the way you think. And so one of the examples in the book was, oh, like, I'm never going to win anything, or, man, there's never any parking for me. Well, if you already have that mindset, yeah, you're going to have to park in the back 40, or, yeah, you're never going to win anything. But if you switch that mindset to say, like, oh, I'm going to park at the front of the parking lot or right next to the store, and that's, you start to think that, then there will always be that parking spot there for you, or you're going to win all these lotteries and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of different ideas in this book that I think, you know, applies to, like, anyone's mindset, you know, for, you know, kind of having a positive outlook or even just helping when you're in tough times. And yeah, I think that book, you know, it's not a very long read, but it can be kind of overwhelming just the way some of the verbiage is, but it is a pretty good one.
Yeah, I mean, to wrap up here, how much do you think your positivity plays a role in being who you are and showing up every day in your job and on the farm? I mean, how much do you credit your positivity with your success? Because ultimately, a lot of people can be successful, but if you don't have that type of positivity, it's not the same as a person who has success and is positive at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that, you know, everyone has their days, right? But I definitely like to always look for that silver lining in a situation, even when it's like the crappiest possible situation or, you know, there's always something that can be good that comes out of that. And I think, like, that's a big thing that I'm really, like, as I find, you know, like, even this summer now that it's turned wet and pretty dull, it hasn't been a lot of sun and people are starting to get down. I think, like, you know, there's lots of opportunities to see, you know, a positive in that. And I think just sharing that with people, I think that will really take you far. And I mean, obviously you attract what kind of energy you throw off. So
yeah, yeah. Well, I really appreciate all that you shared today, because I feel like for such a young age, Samantha, it feels like you have such an amazing way of approaching what you're doing in business and in life. And I feel like that's why most likely your farmers, your clients are successful around you and your sisters, because of that type of mindset and mentality that you bring to the table every day. It sounds like staying curious, listening, and problem solving the way you do. I mean, success is only going to be something that you get to achieve in the years to come. And I'm really excited to see where you end up taking this whole teaching thing, knowing where our sector needs to go too. I think you have a really, really unique perspective. So thanks so much for joining us and for sharing all the advice that you did. I feel like there's so much that the listener can learn from your advice today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Christina. It's been a pleasure to chat with you this morning.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
That's a wrap on this episode of the Country Guide podcast. Go to country-guide.ca for more great content to spark a conversation. And subscribe to the weekly newsletter to be notified when our next podcast episode is available.